Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
Former black shirt. Former Super Bowl champion.
Scott Chanley's my guest.
The speed and the explosiveness, I think, should excite Nebraska fans. Game film is always going to be better than practice film because everybody's going 100 miles an hour.
Scott Chanley, black shirt, Super Bowl champ.
Being a Nebraska kid growing up and not only wanting to play for Nebraska and run out in front of the sea of red, but as soon as I knew I was going to be a defensive player, that becomes one of your goals, is to get one of those black jerseys.
Scott Chanley, breaking things down.
Attack, 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 maybe give up a big play. You can live with that, but you got to be aggressive on defense. A couple guys here or there, kind of brother-in-law on it, not going full speed. It's hard to tell. What's going on?
Scott Chanley joins Nick now on Game Time.
How do you say no to Scott Chanley? Am I right?
Sounds great.
Let's bring him in. Lots to talk about with this guy, Mr. Scott Chanley. What's up, Scott? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great today, actually. I get to check out Zion Williamson.
I wanted to actually start with that. Like, I guess two things. The first one is, I guess, how big of a deal is basketball in New Orleans?
It's about to become a huge deal. It was a big deal, I think, when Chris Paul was the Smoothie King Center was pretty packed. Dave West and those guys, they had some good years. When Anthony Davis first got there, it was pretty packed. But the last couple of years, it's been hard to get people in there, especially last year with all the drama surrounding trade rumors and everything. But if you give, just like any fan base, you give them a product to come cheer for and to sit there for 40-some games, they'll show up.
What? By the way, do you like – do you like the NBA draft lottery? Do you like the way the NFL does their draft system? I mean, what as a guy that's played professional sports, what's the ideal way to do it?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go off the grid completely. I hate the fact that there's a draft at all in any sport. I think you know, when people graduate college, you don't have Chase Bank and Bank of America lining up to you know, based on who had the worst revenue, get the best college student.
Right.
You get to select which job, you where you want to go, what city, whatever pays more. So, to me, every owner should sit around in a room and they should have to bid. Zion Williamson could make $30 million in his first year based on the owner's bidding for his services. So, to me, a draft is really unfair to the athletes. It's just exciting for the fans. But to answer your question, it would be too easy to tank, I think, in the NBA for a worse record and you get some bad product.
Right.
So, I see why they do what they do for each sport.
That's interesting because you're totally right. Like, if I graduate top of my class – Harvard Medical School, I don't get sent to the worst hospital. You know what I mean? I go to the best one. It is kind of weird that sports is like the only industry where that's the case.
Yeah, and it's always – no, I shouldn't say always. Within the past few years, I just started to think about it's exciting to watch the draft, but it's really unfair to the athlete. And just like the point I made and the point you just made, you should get to go for whoever bids the highest for your services if you're a very skilled person in your profession. And when you sit back and think about it and you get away from all the excitement and the drama of ping pong balls and NFL draft night, it's really unfair to the athlete.
I'm not sure if you saw the news that just kind of broke, maybe a half hour ago, that the New York Jets have fired their general manager and now the head coach Adam Gase will be the interim GM while an immediate search begins to find a replacement. I mean, how big of a deal is that? I mean, the timing of it, I suppose, is okay because there's not a whole lot going on, but that's certainly not ideal.
No, it's very odd. It's extremely odd, actually. I mean, Adam's never had any experience with being a general manager. The roster so far, you know, they probably have 90 guys on the team. They're going to trim it down to 53, and the head coach is going to have a huge say in that. And now he doesn't have anybody to argue with in the short term about who's going to stay on the roster. But it just shows that there's dysfunction in organization. And I think Bill Parcells and Sean Payton always said the best. Every year, 32 fan bases believe they have a chance to win a Super Bowl, when in actuality, five or six functional organizations have a chance just based on what's going on inside the building. And the Jets are just proving that there's dysfunction. And from all accounts, I got wind that the general manager who just got fired, he hired Williams before he even hired Adam Gase. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
That is going to be really, really interesting. To shift, I want to talk a little Nebraska football. This sounds like a stupid question, but – How hard is it, or what can you do as linebackers, or you know, for D linemen, O linemen? How do you guys stay sharp during the off season when you can't put a helmet and shoulder pads on and actually go like hit? Because obviously that's a huge part of what you guys do. Like, how hard is it during this time to stay sharp?
It's extremely hard just based on the positions you're talking about. Linebacker, you know, there's a reason you don't drive by parks and see kids working on downhill scraping drill and pad drill. I mean, it's hard to replicate without putting the pads on and having somebody line up across from you. But, you know, I remember our time in Nebraska in the summer, it was a lot of working out, but then we would do 7-on-7 on air. And obviously 7-on-7 is more helpful to the quarterbacks and receivers and maybe DBs. But you get timing, you get to rep your defenses, you get to work together. And that's worth a lot, just working on chemistry and playing with the guys on the field, understanding guys' different fits and different strengths and weaknesses. So there's things you can work on. But when you talk about linebacker, until you put the pads on and you have somebody run fitting and covering and jamming tight ends, it's hard to really replicate close what you're going to do in August.
So obviously as a player, you're always confident. You know, like even the Browns team that went 0-16, I highly doubt that they took the field every time just thinking, oh, we stink, we're going to get killed. I mean, that's kind of the nature of being a professional athlete is you have supreme confidence in yourself. But I'm curious, think about all the great teams you were on, Scott. When did you kind of know, hey, we got something here? Because it was interesting to hear Scott Frost say that he didn't know until they got into fall camp of year two at Central Florida, to where kind of the first time that they kind of all looked at each other as coaches and said, we got something here. When did it kind of click for you and all your good teams?
I think for me, you could sense it in off-season workouts, OTAs and mini camps and training camp. You felt like, well, we have some talent here and we have a chance, just like everybody does that time of year. But for me, every year it was a defining game. It was a statement win. And early on in the season, the great seasons we had, we went and beat a really good team, and played really well. And you could just see the confidence grow after that. So I think with this Nebraska team, they need a statement win, a defining win, where everybody walks into that locker room when the game's over and says, we're damn good,
right?
And we know it, and we're going to be a problem for people. And once that happens, the confidence just grows immensely.
The other thing that I found interesting, because Scott Frost was on Jim Rome 2 days ago, and he said that he could kind of feel things shift last year after the Purdue game, where they got beat at home. But what's interesting about that is that Nebraska still went on to lose the next two games. They lost to Wisconsin and then at Northwestern. But it just goes to show you, Scott, how we're sometimes – we think things are only changing if wins are occurring. You can be improving and still losing, you know. And I just found that interesting, that I think clearly Frost was sensing things shifting in the process, and then ultimately it led to kind of that 4-2 finish in the final six games. But I just found that interesting.
I agree, and I think the one thing about it is there's a difference. Obviously, there's no moral victories, especially if you're playing in a place like Nebraska, but it's the way you lose. When you're getting blown out, there's hardly anything you can draw from. When you're losing one or two possession games, when you can think back as a player, if I would have just done this differently on a couple of plays, we could have won the game. You know you're in the game. And I think until you learn as a player how to not lose games, that's when the tide really shifts. And you can sense that as a team. You can sense if we're doing everything we can to not beat ourselves and we're still getting beat, hey, we can live with that. But just don't beat ourselves. And that's really half the battle every week out.
Doesn't it kind of feel like, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but doesn't it kind of feel like, man, that week two trip to Colorado next year is huge? Because, you know, you talked about it, like there's always a game early in the year where you get over the hump and you win it, and you kind of just take off. Like, I'm not saying that losing that game would derail everything, but I do feel like going and winning that game could really ignite some things.
Yes, I agree. And I think the one thing, obviously Nebraska and Colorado aren't in the Big 12 anymore. There's still a little bit of rivalry there. These kids don't understand what the rivalry means. But to be honest, if I'm Scott and I'm those coaches, I'm making that game a bigger deal than the national pundits are going to make it. I'm going to talk about the 90s rivalry. I'm going to talk about the top five matchups that we had. I'm going to talk about how Colorado used to circle the game in red and talk about how much they hated Nebraska. Make it a huge deal to those kids, so they understand that there's a little bit of history behind that game and see how they respond in that moment.
Yeah. And by the way, we'll get you out of here on this one. I know you don't know about the individual, you know, they've got a Cal grad transfer wide receiver that caught, I want to say caught like 60 balls 2 years ago at Cal. So, I mean, you're getting a guy that can really give a boost in terms of a proven commodity at that wide receiver spot. Still feels like that, you know, you like Spielman, you like the potential of Wandell Robinson, but boy, you really need to make sure you got as many weapons as possible for Martinez.
Especially in this offense, you're going to have an opportunity as a wide receiver. Most of the time, you're going to have at least three receivers on the field and probably more, or probably four more often than not. So you need those threats. Obviously, losing Stanley Morgan Jr. is a big loss. And so when you can get more bodies to fill in that wide receiver corps, people are going to double-team Spielman. If I'm a D coordinator, I'm going to take him out of the game as much as I can to make somebody else win. So those other guys out there with Spielman are going to have an opportunity to make a lot of plays. Yeah. They just need to make it when their number's called.
By the way, what position would you play Zion Williamson in football? Is he a tight end? Is he a rush in? Yeah. Like, what would you do with Zion?
He, without a doubt, is a tight end. You know what's funny about that is the Pelicans built a facility right next to the Saints, so those players see each other every day in the cafeteria. I'm going to put the over-under at 2 days when Sean Payton sits down with Zion at the cafeteria and says, hey, red zone tight end?
Literally.
I'm not putting it past him.
Right. You just say, hey, Zion, here's the thing, man. We will only – when we get the ball in the red zone, and you'll just run – we'll try to get you man-to-man coverage, and we're not going to send you over the middle or anything like that. Like, just only – like, literally a situational red zone tight end, that is it. He might lead the league in touchdowns, you know?
He definitely could. I'm not putting it past him. I really think he's going to approach him and talk about it. I don't know if the Pelicans will go for it, but there's a lot of crossover between management there, too. So
let me tell you, do you have any idea the ratings? Imagine here comes first and goal, Breeze under center, and Zion is on the I mean, the ratings would be through the roof, Chandler. It would be amazing.
Yes, it would be awesome.
It would be great. Scott Chandler joins us every Wednesday at this time. Scott, great stuff as always, man. Thank you.
Yep, we'll see you.
You got it. Scott Chandler. Imagine that. Hey, Zion, Sean Payton, you want to play tight end, just two plays a game? I'm sorry, you look at him like, bro, man. How would he – I know that you got some freaky, 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 deaky dudes in the NFL, but like 6'7", 295.
That graphic yesterday, literally he is J.J. Watt, but an inch taller.
And way more – I mean, vertically explosive, like
yeah.
Faster – that would be crazy. I still would love to see. I would love to see one just like single coverage nine route go route with LeBron on somebody. Imagine Breeze. You split out Bron single coverage one side, Zion single coverage one side. You just send those guys on fly routes. See what happens. I would tune in. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'd tune in. I would have Zion on my fantasy, my DraftKings team every week.
Oh,
just because you got it. Oh, you'd have to do it. All right, 15 minutes away from the mailbag. If you haven't got your questions in, how dare you? Get your question into George at 1620zone.com. Anything you want to ask me, seriously, doesn't matter. We'll do that. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Anthony Tolliver in the 1 o'clock hour. More Game Time around the corner.